Okay, a couple weeks ago, we started on talking about the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ and who it was for, and I want to continue with some of that this morning. Maybe we see something, because I know that the world, most of the religious systems today claim they're advancing the kingdom, and I don't believe that for one minute.
We were talking the other night about the, we were talking about the, that group, those nations that ain't going to be considered with Israel.
Right, well, we're going to go through some of that this morning. Right.
Yeah.
You had a question about something on it, didn't
mm-hmm.
you?
Yeah. Like, my question is you said during a thousand-year reign that it's only going to include just the nations, right? Not Israel is not included in that, right?
They're not in Matthew 25.
Okay.
And that's the nations that's going to be with him, plus some of those that die in the tribulation over here. And we'll see that this morning. But the nations that's going in, that the kingdom is prepared for, are Gentile nations.
So where will the Jews be?
They will be with the Lord, but they will be reigning over these nations.
Okay?
So
they will
be considered as a kingdom of priests. And what is a priest's job? Well, I tell you what, turn to Malachi chapter 3. Take Matthew 25 and Revelation 20. Can y'all do that?
Malachi
chapter 3. That's right before you get to Matthew. Matthew 25. In Malachi, we're going to start in chapter 2. Good morning. But first, would you join me in prayer, please? We're going to see some things about that. Now, look, if you've got a question during the class, feel free to ask me. Now, remember, I don't hear too good, so you're going to have to talk slow and kind of loud. So I can hear you. I sometimes with some of these high-pitched lady voices, especially, I need an interpreter. So my wife and my daughter, if y'all need to interpret for me, please do so. Okay. But first, would you join me in prayer, please? Well, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning and to study your word and to fellowship around it. And we ask you this morning, Lord, to especially be with those that are sick. We ask you to heal these people according to thy will and comfort these people that only you can. And Father, we ask you this morning to teach us your word by your spirit, to build us up in the faith, and let us not be too concerned about the things we can't understand, but let us simply believe you mean what you say. And Father, we ask you this morning to give honor and glory to yourself in the class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, in Malachi, let's go to chapter 2. Do y'all need another chair? Or two?
Yeah.
Thank you. We're in three places: Malachi, Matthew 25, Revelation 20. And what we're discussing a couple weeks ago, we started on the discussion about the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. And if you remember, when Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, that's what he preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preached that Jesus Christ was resurrected to sit on a throne of his father David. You understand? That's what Peter's preaching of Acts 2 is. He preached a murder indictment to Israel. They crucified the Lord when they spoke against him and said, "We'll have no king but Caesar, crucify him." So they spoke against the Lord and they crucified him, but God raised him up, and he's now above all heavens. And that's where the Apostle Paul saw him in Acts chapter 9, brighter than the noonday sun. Okay? Now, Paul was given a message in Acts 9, and in Acts 18, the Lord appeared unto him again. Then the church, the body of Christ, which God's dealing with today, will be raptured out. The Lord will deal with Israel according to the tribulation. Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry trained 12 men and told them, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, which is in the Old Testament back here, Daniel talked about this time here, this time over here, and this time here, but he did not teach anything about the dispensation of the grace of God. Daniel walked right over us. So Daniel told them about the Antichrist. When you see him, flee, run to the mountains. So all of this will match this over here. Jesus Christ said, "I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Okay? Now in the book of Malachi. But, hey, by the way, these people over here that are reigning with the Lord over here are called a priesthood. And a priesthood has to have what? A high priest. So you'll find in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 13 that Jesus Christ is that high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is not a priesthood from the tribe of Levi. Back here in the Old Testament, God told Moses, said, I'm just going to breathe it, Levi. He told Moses, take the tribe of Levi for my priest to work in my office, to do my service. Aaron is the high priest, okay? So, now in Malachi chapter 2, verse 1. And then this is who the book is written to. By the way, Malachi in the Hebrew means messenger. That's what the word means. It means God's messenger. And he's a priest to Israel. Malachi is. Now, in chapter 2, verse 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, if you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already. Well, was the priesthood cursed?
Yes.
Well, sure it was. You know why? They turned from God. What did Aaron do? Aaron made a golden calf, didn't he?
Yes.
Sure did. What did they do? They started worshiping idols. You can find that in the book of Romans. They started worshiping idols, bowing down to them. Different things. Now, let's read on here in Malachi chapter 2, verse 3. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, bring dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant is with him of life and peace. I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and in equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. In other words, turned them away from idolatry back here. You understand? Now, verse 7. This is our verse. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the Lord at his mouth. For he, the priest, is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. In other words, the priesthood turned from the law. They started teaching the people to worship idols and different things. You understand? Now, go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. And I'm not going to read all of it, but let's just start in verse 33. Hear you another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged the wine pressed in it, built a tower, let it out to a husband, and went into a far country. That'd be the Lord's doing here. And you can find in Mark chapter 13, where Jesus Christ is a man taking a far journey. He left his house. Okay? He's gone away. But he promised Israel, especially in John 14, he promised Israel, I will come again. Over here, at the second coming. When he'll sit on the throne over here. This has to do with this 1,000-year millennial reign over here. Now, for time's sake, I'm going to just have to read the rest of it. Verse 34. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husband took his servants, beat one, killed another, stoned another. In other words, God sent prophets to them. They killed him. Okay? Now watch what he says here. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. Last of all, he sent unto him his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, cast him out of the vineyard, slew him. Y'all got any idea who the husband is by now? Israel. You got any idea where the vineyard is? Palestine. The Holy Land. Okay? Now watch what he says here. Verse 38. But when the husband saw the son, who is the son? The Lord Jesus Christ. He finally sent his son to him. Okay? Jesus Christ said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, so I know what's going on here. Verse 39, and they caught him, cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, second coming, what will he do unto these husbandmen? They said unto him, he will miserably destroy these wicked men, and let out his vineyard unto other husbands, which shall render him the fruits in their season. Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scripture the stone which the builders rejected, the same as become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. That will be the 12, according to Luke. Chapter 12, God told them, fear not, little flock, as your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, what are these 12? Let's see if we can find out. Go to 1 Peter, whole Matthew 25, Revelation 20. We'll get there in a minute. Go to 1 Peter, chapter 2. 1 Peter, chapter 2. Verse 8. Let's start in verse 8. The stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation. These people that Peter's writing to, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. In other words, they are a kingdom of priests. Go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And what you're fixing to read here, you can find in Matthew, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us to our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Is he made kings and priests out of these people? Are they going to reign on the earth? Matthew chapter 5, the meek shall inherit what? The earth. Here they are. It's Abraham's seed. The land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are a kingdom of priests. Go to chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20. Verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit. And don't ask me where the bottomless pit is. I don't got no idea. Anybody got any idea where it's at? How can you have a bottomless pit?
Everyone.
It must be forever and ever, ain't it? Must keep going and going and going. That Russell back there knows about drilling oil wells. You drill so far, but can you ever drill and just keep on going and going and going and going? Somewhere you're going to stop, ain't you? Well, this John sees a bottomless pit and a great chain in this angel's hand. What's he fixing to do? Look at verse 2. And he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Do you know there are religious systems that do not believe in the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ? They don't see no such thing. And you just saw there's 1,000 years somewhere, ain't it? Now watch what happened. Verse 3. Cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. So I know we're right on line. There's 1,000-year millennial reign somewhere, ain't it? Didn't he say there's 1,000 years?
Yes.
Satan is going to be bound in this time in the bottomless pit. There's going to be a seal put on him, and he can't get out of there. There's a seal on us, the church, the body of Christ, and once you are baptized by the Spirit into the body, you're sealed and you can't get out of it. You understand? You're in there, and there ain't no way out. When the rapture takes place, whether you're ready or not, you're going. So the best thing to do is to be ready. And you know what you're going to take with you? Nothing. You know what you're going to do when you go out? You're going to go to a judgment. And whatever you're doing on this earth is going to come up for judgment. Not your sins, but your work. Whatever you're doing for the Lord is going to go to this judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be a fire there at the judgment seat. You're going to take your work, you're going to put it on that fire. Paul said, I laid the foundation. No other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is, according to Psalms 118, the cornerstone. We've read it twice here this morning. It was rejected. They rejected it. Paul said he laid the foundation. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. He said, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. And I don't give a flip who it is. Anybody that's preaching today is preaching on this cornerstone. And if he is not preaching Paul's epistles, rightly divided, he's building wood, hay, and stubble. When he goes to, if he's saved, when he goes to the judgment seat, he will put his work on there and it will be tried by fire. Every man's work shall be tried. Whatever you're doing for the Lord will go to that judgment seat. If it's built upon Paul's foundation, rightly divided according to Romans to Philemon, preach Genesis through Revelations, proper in its proper place, you put that on that fire, and if it's precious stones, it'll come out the other side. If it's wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to go up in smoke. And you know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? That person's work that is smoked and burnt up, he shall be saved yet so as by fire. God is a consuming fire. God is a jealous God. God said in Exodus to Israel, to the priesthood, thou shalt make no image in the likeness of anything in heaven above, on the earth, beneath the earth, or in the water. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I am a jealous God. Hebrews says he's a consuming fire. Do you know who the Son is?
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Capital S-U-N in Malachi. You know what Malachi the priest said about the S-U-N? The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Y'all don't think these little kids pay attention? I found out Sunday, two or three weeks ago, they sure do. You don't know what they might say. So be careful what you say around them, because they got big ears and big mouths. I found that out. So when you go to the judgment seat, whatever you're doing now for the name of the Lord is going to go through a fire up here. So, I know that Jesus Christ trained 12 men to sit on 12 thrones over here in the millennium. Now, in Revelation 20, where you're at, verse 4. Now, listen, remember now, right after the 1,000-year reign, Satan's going to be loosed a little bit. But during this time right here is what we're after, this 1,000-year millennial reign. It ain't for the church, the body of Christ. Let's get that straight right now. You understand? We're in the kingdom of His dear Son. I'm not praying the prayer of Matthew, "Thy kingdom come." That's not my kingdom. You understand? Now, in Revelation 20, verse 4, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them." Now, I'm going to stop right there. I want to find out who He sees on these thrones. You understand? Go back to Matthew, old Revelation 20. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. There's a rich man done come ask Jesus Christ, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And he tells him, "Keep the commandments." And he said, "I've done all of them." He says, "You lack one thing. Sell all that you got." There ain't a church, I don't give a flip dang dilly who they are, there ain't a church in the world that preaches out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that tells their people to have eternal life, you got to sell everything you got. Or do y'all know any? I watch some of them on television. They don't tell their people to have eternal life, you got to sell everything you got. But Jesus Christ told this man that. Anybody got red letter? This will be in red letter. Now, verse 21, Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. Why? For he had great possessions. Wow, ain't that something? Now watch what happens. Verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples. All disciples are not apostles. But all apostles came from these disciples except one. Do y'all know which one didn't come from these disciples?
Paul.
Paul was not one of these followers. In other words, a disciple following Jesus Christ had to forsake everything he had in his family and everything, and follow him from the baptism of John until they ascended up to being a apostle. Paul wasn't one of them. Now, come to verse 27. Then answered Peter. Is Peter there? One of the disciples. He's also, according to Luke chapter 6, an apostle. Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Behold, we, the apostles, have forsaken all, followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" Now here is our answer to Revelation chapter 20. Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto ye which have followed me in the regeneration," second coming. Verse 28, Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Are they going to be judging the 12 tribes of Israel over here? Are they? You know why? They're a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood. They're doing God's work. They're the priesthood. Israel is a priesthood over here, and they have a high priest, Jesus Christ. They're high priest. Now, go back up to verse 28. Jesus said unto them, the apostles, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Do you know when that's going to be? When did he say they would judge these 12 tribes? When he comes in the throne of his glory. Go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Verse 31. When the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. What's going to take place? The 12 are going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? Now, let's see if we can find out who these people are. Well, I tell you, before we do that, go back to chapter 24. I'm going to show you when he's going to sit on the throne of his glory. It's written in the book. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. Stars shall fall from heaven. And the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Who requires signs?
The Jews.
We walk by faith in him. We don't look for signs and wonders. You understand? I don't get dismayed at signs and wonders. Why? I walk by faith, and I walk by his faith. Verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Now, here's what we got to do. We got to figure out who are these nations. Now, are the 12 going to be sitting on a throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel?
Yes.
Okay? Are they a nation? Yes, they are. They are a holy priesthood, a holy nation, as in Exodus chapter 19 back here. Well, I'll tell you what, I better not do that. I may get into something like that I can't finish. So let's just stick with this right here. Look at this verse again. Verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations. Hold your place there. Go to Numbers chapter 23. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers chapter 23. In Numbers 23, the situation here is Balaam and Balak. He's wanting this prophet of the Lord to come curse Israel, and God wouldn't let him do it. Verse 7, and he took up this parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come curse me, Jacob, that's Israel, and defy Israel. Verse 8, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Now, has God cursed Israel yet? No, he hasn't. Can God curse that which he's blessed? No, he can't. Genesis 12, now I want you to think about this. Genesis 12, God told Abraham, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. So when you get to Matthew 25, we're going to find out there's some people, nations, that blessed the seed of Abraham. God's got to bless them according to his own word. You understand? So over here in the thousand-year millennial reign, there's some people during the seven-year tribulation of Israel that bless the seed of Abraham that go into the kingdom over here because of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I'll bless them that bless you. They bless Israel in the time of their trouble. So they go in to the kingdom. Who are these nations blessing in the tribulation?
Israel.
Israel. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah chapter 30. It's a time of Jacob's trouble. Matthew 24. Jesus Christ told them about this time over here. It's a time like never has been before, nor ever will be after that. You'll find that in Jeremiah chapter 30 and other places. You'll find it in the book of Daniel. Now, so, I know this Gentile nations over here blessing the seed of Abraham. So they got to get the blessings of God. How are they going to do it? In the millennial reign of Christ. Now watch what happens. In before we leave Numbers 23, verse 8, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the tops of the rock I see him. From the hills I beheld him. Lo, the people, as Israel, shall dwell alone. Now watch what he says. And shall not be reckoned among the nations. Is Israel reckoned among the nations?
No.
No, they're exalted above the nations. But in Matthew 21, did not we read that the kingdom was taken from Israel, given to a little flock? The little flock is a kingdom of priests. They shall dwell on the earth. Kingdom of heaven, if you please, will be on the earth. They're in the kingdom of heaven. Not the kingdom of his dear son. They're in the kingdom of heaven. The first time you see that is in Matthew chapter 3. The kingdom of heaven.
Now the kingdom is going to be built after the thousand year reign, right?
It'll come down and the Lord will bring it down over here. And you'll find that in the book of Revelation. The bride. Yeah. That has to do with the bride of Christ also. Okay? We're not the bride in here. Okay? We're his body. Remember, his body. Alright? Do you know what his body is? According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. One new man. Man can't be a bride, can he? I don't give a flip what the world says. These people that are marrying women and women and men got this thing right out of Satan's mouth. Not out of the mouth of God. Is Israel reckoned among the nations?
No.
All right, go back to Matthew 25. You're holding Revelation 20. Verse 32. Matthew 25, verse 32. Now listen, if you got a question, let's talk about it. And before him shall be gathered all nations. Well, the Israel ain't there gathered there, are they? Go to Revelation. I got to slow my mind down. Go to Romans chapter 11. Hold what you got and go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happening to Israel. Not just blindness happened to Israel, but in part. Why? Because there's a remnant in Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, and Thessalonians that are saved through jealousy of the Gentiles, if you let me use that term. Salvation came unto the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. Paul said in Romans 11 that the Jew emulate the Gentile in this dispensation right here. In other words, a Gentile and a Jew get saved the same way here. Now, verse 25, I would not, brethren, you should be ignorant of this mystery, at least you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles may come in. When the body's full, then we go out of here. Now watch what he says, verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, Isaiah 59:20, as it is written, the deliverer shall roar out of Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. He said, this is my covenant unto them when I will take away their sins. Those in the tribulation, well, go to Jeremiah 30. I've got to do it. Go to Jeremiah 30. It'd be in several verses there, but go to verse 1 so we know what's going on here. Then the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I've spoken thee in the book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, as I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. These are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. Come to verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke. And that his is the Antichrist, and you'll find him, if you're taking notes, in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5. God identifies him, O Assyrian, the rod of mine indignation. The staff in his hand is God's indignation. And you'll find back here in Deuteronomy 32 that God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. This is the day of God's vengeance over here. Israel has got to pay back time over here to God. You'll find that in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27 through the end of Daniel there, this time of trouble over here. Matthew 24 there. So I know Jacob will be saved out of this. So if Jacob is saved out of the tribulation here, it's those that turn from ungodliness in Jacob. You understand? Well, maybe you don't. Let's do it again. Go to chapter 31, Jeremiah, while you're here. I can't overlook this. We've got to go through it. My time's running short on me here. You may have to stay here a little longer this morning. In Jeremiah 31, verse 31, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now listen to me. Are we under the blood of the new covenant? Yes. Did Jesus Christ in Matthew 26 say this cup is the blood of the new covenant? Well, haven't we already received the atonement?
Yes.
Well, what atonement blood did we receive? The blood of the new covenant. We're not new covenant saints. Don't get it mixed up. But we're under the blood of the new covenant. You understand? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that, well, I ain't going to get into that, that we're ministers of the new covenant, of the New Testament, he called it, which is covenant and testament, same thing. He said we're not of the letter, but of the Spirit. You understand? So we're under the blood. The blood was put to our account. Romans chapter 5, verse 11. We've now received the atonement. What atonement is that? It's the blood of the new covenant. But we're not involved in the letter of the new covenant. You understand? There's a difference. Now, Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with the fathers in the day I took them by the hand, lead them out of Israel, which my covenant they break, saith the Lord. He was a husband to them, verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, the tribulation. After those days, would that include after Romans to Philemon? Well, certainly it would. Can't you see that Paul, when he uses Old Testament scriptures, he knows all of this? When he wrote Romans to Philemon, he knows this is back here. So after these days, and after this days over here, 7-year tribulation, the Lord will come back, new covenant with the house of Israel. Okay? And in the new covenant, I know we've gone over it 100 times, and I don't have time this morning, but in the new covenant, they don't have any teachers no more, do they? Well, now listen to me. You're fixing to find out why. You know why they don't have any teachers? All shall know me. Well, now, wait a minute. Go back and take Matthew chapter 28. Now, I know we're holding 25 in Revelation 20. Take Matthew chapter 28. Now, listen. All Israel has been saved. You understand? The deliverer roars out of Zion, turns away ungodliness from Jacob. My covenant unto them when I'll take away their sins. So in the new covenant, no teacher for Israel. They shall all know me from the least to the greatest. You understand? Uh-huh. So now you're fixing to see. And I hope your eyes are seeing this. Not up here, but just spiritual things in this book right here. In Matthew 28, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went on their way into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Well, you see, he hasn't got all power yet. He don't get all power until the last angel sounds out the wrath of God on this world. There are 7 of them. And after the 7th angel sounds, Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, now is become the kingdoms of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Okay? Satan is gone. He's in the bottomless pit 1,000 years. Can't deceive nobody no more. The false prophet is gone for 1,000 years. But after that, he's got to be loosed a little season. He's took out and he gathers people to fight against God over here. Revelation 19, I expect, will take place right here. This man riding on a white horse. You see, you got 2 horses in the book of Revelation. In chapter 6, you got the devil riding on a horse and death. Do you know what Paul told us in Revelation? Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Well, he ain't destroyed yet, beloved. Now, watch what he says here. Where he's received all power now. Verse 18. Go ye therefore and do what? Wait a minute. You ain't going to have to teach Israel, are you? So the 1,000-year millennial reign ain't for Israel. It's for somebody that's got to be taught. You understand? Anybody got a question here? I hope this thing is clearing up for you. So I know all Israel is saved, and they don't need a teacher. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, you have an unction from the Father, from the Holy One, and you need not anybody teach you. You know all things. You understand? They're in the new covenant. These nations here got to have a teacher. I've received all power. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. Look at it. Verse 19. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. Well, Israel ain't reckoned among the nations. They're already saved. So there's nations here, and I'll show them to you. Go back to chapter 25. This is so clear. If I had a little bit bigger brain, maybe I could make you see this thing better, but the fallacy in me is my brain is so small, I just can't do but so much. Now, verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, that does not include Israel, and he shall separate them one from another, as, not is, but as a shepherd divided the sheep from the goats. Now he's likening this time as a shepherd that divides the sheep from the goats. When they come in from the winter, they bring them into the barn, put the goats over here in their place, the sheep over here in their place. Now watch what he says. Verse 33, he shall separate the sheep, set the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left hand. Then shall the king, you see that capital K there? That's the Lord himself. Didn't Paul say that someday he's in Timothy, he's going to show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen. Beloved, that ought to tell you something. That ought to tell you from the death of Adam on through here, there ain't nobody in that light. But who gives a flip what the book says? Now watch what he says here. Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on the right hand. Who's on the right hand? The sheep. Not Israel. You see, Israel is reckoned as the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but these are as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. Not sheep from the goats, but as he does. These are nations. Verse 34, then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You know how I know that ain't the church, the body of Christ? Because of Ephesians chapter 1, he knew us before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Not from it. From it and before ain't the same. Now, verse 35. For I was hungered, and I was standing on the street corner with a sign saying, I need help, God bless. No. Them people take advantage of people that don't know anything about this book. Now, they may need help. And if you desire to help one of them, that's your privilege. You can do that. But don't feel guilty if you don't. You understand? Don't make them let you feel guilty. Because if you follow some of them, they probably live in a better house than I do. Probably got a bigger bank account than I do. Some of them, that's where they make their living, is what they call panhandling. Now, there may be some of them out there truly need help, but you won't find one in a dozen that really does. They're taking advantage of people. Verse 35, for I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in naked, and you clothed me in sick. I visited me, I was in prison, you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we hunger or fed thee or thirsted and gave thee drink? When saw thee we a stranger took thee in a naked and clothed thee? When saw thee we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall say unto them, the righteous, on the right hand, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Now, if I can identify the brethren, I know who these people are blessing. So if you will listen to what God says, he'll show it to you. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Oh, me goodness. Let's start in verse 9, Hebrews chapter 2. By the way, before we read, Hebrews is who? Hebrews. Abraham is called a Hebrew. Genesis chapter 12. Abram, the Hebrews. Okay? Now, verse 9. Now, the book is written to Hebrews. Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man, for it became him, Jesus, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And behold, for both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Who's the brethren here? Hebrews. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise to thee. Go to Matthew chapter 26. The only time you find that Jesus Christ sang in the church is among his brethren. And you'll find them in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse, I'd be better if I got in Matthew 26, I might have found it. Verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Who did he give this to? Disciples. You ain't no disciple. He took the cup, gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Over here, beloved, you understand? Over here, we've already received the atonement. Israel gets the blood atonement at the second coming according to Zechariah. You understand? I bet this thing's so beautiful. It blows my little old peanut mind, though. Now watch what they do. Verse 29, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. New covenant. And when they had sung and hymn, do you see where he sang this hymn at? Among these people in the book of Matthew, not me and you. This is his brethren, Israel. Now, go back to Revelation chapter 20. So I know this kingdom here is prepared for Gentile nations that bless Israel in the tribulation, and they have right to the doctrine of Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, 19. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in water, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. So they're going to tell them to sell out, be like the birds and the bees, and don't work, and God take care of you. Our welfare system is contrary to the word of Almighty God. Paul told you, if you won't work, neither should you eat. Let the man get him a job. Throw your sign down, spend your time hunting a job. May not like it, may have to dig a ditch. You may have to walk the road and pick up aluminum cans, but there's some way to make a living. Get off your duster and go to work. Our welfare system has made bums out of people. You know why? You get more sitting at home through the mailbox than you can through the checking account working for somebody. Our welfare system has burnt people. And that's a design of Satan. If a man won't work, neither should he. You know your favorite verse, 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. If any man won't take care of his own, he's worse than an infidel and hath denied the faith. Revelation 20, and we're going to close. My time's gone. That, we didn't start by that clock. We started by mine. See, I'm lying to you. We started by that. We're going to quit by mine. Revelation 20, verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them in judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. So those in Revelation, the 144,000, and in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, there's a multitude that no man can number of all tongues and nations. He sees these people in this rain over here. Witness for Jesus and for the word of God, and which have not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither have received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they live and reign with Christ. How long? 1,000 years. You understand? So the 1,000-year millennial reign is for Gentile nations that bless Israel in the time of Jacob's trouble over here. I appreciate you being here this morning. You've been most patient and kind.